Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, five cousins met in a crossroads and have decided to set off for adventure and to bring to pass the prophecy handed down to them as we delve further into the Forge of Fury.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise your glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Welcome to Game 3 of the Forge of Fury, June 3rd, 2018. What a unique shift in the story, would you not say? The Stonehammers did an admirable job of mitigating the fallout of the political environs of Blazing Dell by getting arrested and then charged with clearing the Stone Tooth of Orcs, so to speak. Baron Althan thinks them likely to die, and it gave Eldeth the opportunity to interrogate the imprisoned orc. As the little family of dwarves made their way from town and into the surrounding woods, Eldeth commented on her interaction with the orc, saying,
"That got really intense."
And now let us peek into the adventure itself, as the smell of pine greets dwarven nostrils, as the Stonehammer clan, shouldering their adventuring gear and supplies, hurry down a loamy animal trail north and away from the town, towards adventure. With one brief reminder to you all before you begin, a black shadow lies over my heart, my treasure, the gauntlet of the Stonehammers. It must be reclaimed. Only a Stonehammer can do this. Five fingers make the fist. Five Stonehammers it will take. Five levels to descend. Five choices must thou make. Find the tooth of stone. To the summit you must climb. A finger of smoke will then be shown. That is the end of my rhyme. There are many ways to enter our hidden readout, as the orcs and then the trogs proved so well, so long ago. Take care and attend well to the warnings of the dwarven statues of your forebears.
So did you know that pine can be boiled down into like a tea to prevent scurvy?
No, I did not know that. Please tell us more.
Like if you're on the ocean and you happen to carry your favorite pine tree with you.
So for those that aren't listening to Melusine, yeah, can I get perception checks with disadvantage?
I gotta play my character.
Oh my gosh! Aww. Emma Wooden Blank!
This is gonna be a bad game.
All right. Did anybody get over 10?
Oh, okay, no.
So no one hears the sound of crashing through the woods as you make your way down the loamy trail. And you are all caught by surprise by an owlbear. So please roll initiative.
I got 3.
You got that?
Okay. Can I get your initiative, Melusine?
15.
Tessikar?
3.
Eldeth?
12.
Foggy?
17.
Oscar?
16.
The owlbear goes first and will then go again after surprise. So the owlbear comes tearing through the underbrush, branches snapping, leaves raining down as it cuts through what looks to be a shining silver-buried bush and breaks through it right into Melusine, who is middle of talking about pine needles on a ship, completely catching Melusine unawares, attacking her with its beacon claws. What is your armor class?
It's a solid 13.
I have hit you twice and do 19 points of damage.
Oh, dear God.
The claws and teeth bite deeply. Melusine is lifted up into the air by the beak, claws rending at her lower back, and she's shaken back and forth. Can I just get a quick survival check? Whatever attribute you'd like to add to survival, because that's the condition in which you put on your bag to go out into the adventuring
charisma
world. Yeah, okay, you charismatically have your bag, you know, over one shoulder,
jauntily over my shoulder.
So roll to see if you actually got that on very well.
Ooh, a 22.
The bag is not ripped from your back and thrown away. It's torn in the owlbear's mouth, lessening the damage that would have been more than 19 to your flesh. The owlbear then begins normal initiative and will attempt to claw and rend you again. I have hit with both, so that is another 19 points of damage.
I'm down.
Throwing Melusine to the ground, the owlbear then closes on Oscar, the other Chatty Cathy, in the combat. It does not attack, but that does mean it is now Foggy's turn.
I'm going to attack it with my great war pick. Got a nat 20.
What?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've missed.
What?
Just kidding.
What does the girl gotta do?
End of game.
18. I think I just go at it from the back. So I'm assuming because he's attacking Mel at this time, that it is kind of
hitting it in the back, in the shoulder blade. Your war pick lodges deeply. A spurt of blood lurches out in the darkness, and the coppery scent of blood is in the air. You're not too sure if that's the owlbear, most likely the vile amount of blood that has come out of Melusine already. All right. Anything else you'd like to do on your turn?
No, I'm pretty happy with that one.
Okay. Then it is now Oscar's turn.
All right, let's pull out my rapier and attack. 20.
Then that hits.
6 damage.
That was Oscar's turn. It is now Melusine's turn to make a death save, followed by Eldeth.
And I do not make it.
It is now Eldeth's turn, followed by Tessikar.
So I would like to use Lay on Hands on Melusine. It's not your time to depart this world. You must stay by my side.
How many hit points are you giving her?
I'll give you 10.
I'm good, guys and gals.
What color is the glow that suffuses your hands as the wounds upon the flesh of Melusine are knit beneath you?
Red, strictly because it's a red cord that symbolizes our god, so I would assume red.
Great turn, Eldeth. You have saved Melusine from death. Tessikar, what would you like to do?
I would like to use Agonizing Blast.
You have rolled, what was your total to hit?
14.
That is enough to hit the owlbear.
14.
We are back up to the top of the round. It is now the owlbear's turn. It is going to attack with its beak. Oscar. It hits, because I have rolled a natural 15. I think that's 21. So it hits. It does 12 damage to Oscar. And you use your reaction then?
Yes.
Okay, so the owlbear is now about to make a wisdom saving throw because you're doing what?
Rebuke the violent.
How are you rebuking the violent?
Oh, like the, or like what I'm...
Yeah, yeah, well, how are you doing that?
Bad owlbear.
Yes. With a water bottle and like hit a, it with a rolled up it's newspaper.
Like a, it's like a cat at home.
I actually think when that happens, because I'm a protector of peace, and so I think what happens when I notice the damage that one of my family has taken, a red aura pushes itself out of my body and waves over the owlbear.
Oh, wow. Cool. So now it has to make a wisdom saving throw. And I have rolled a 15. And does a 15 beat your spell save DC?
You take half the damage.
Oh, so the damage that it did, it takes half of that damage?
So on a failed save, the attacker takes radiant damage equal to the damage it just dealt. On a successful save, it takes half as much damage. So
great.
You take half as
Six
much damage,
damage
as radiant.
It is now going to use its second attack and attack you. And get a natural 19. So it will do 7 more damage to Oscar. It bites you virulently in the shoulder, driving you to the ground, and then puts its claws right into your belly and digs them right in. While it does that, because it is attacking you in this grievous fashion, Eldeth causes the force of this to violently be rebuked upon itself, and it lurches back, and there is a strand of duodenum hanging from the mouth of the owlbear. You're not sure if that's something that would belong to Oscar's shoulder or to Melusine's tummy. But there it is. That was the owlbear's turn. It's your turn, Foggy.
Well, I'm just going to do what I did last time and try to kill this stupid thing with my great war pick. So 21.
That is definitely a hit.
So 14 damage.
The owlbear looks grievously wounded as you rend it in the hindquarters with your war pick. It is now Melusine's turn.
From laying on the ground, I'm going to viciously mock the owlbear.
What would you like to say?
Your mother made sufficiently more money than your father, owlbear, and it caused him to commit suicide.
What?
Okay.
Where did that come from?
That's so dark in so many ways.
Melusine's working on her own angst.
It's a succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
I have rolled a 19.
Oh, well, that's a succeed. Nothing else happened.
The owlbear was like, I didn't even know my parents. So, screw you. Oscar, it's your turn.
I shall get up.
Rise to your feet, lunge forward, and stab the owlbear. Go for it.
With great finesse, I hope. Yeah. 23.
That's it.
4 damage.
With that, you kill the owlbear.
Yes!
Sasa!
And it falls on top of you.
I was
going to
say.
Aw, again. Not again.
Please don't kill him. Please don't kill him.
And you are trapped by the owlbear as it enters its death throes.
Can I take a bonus action and dash away so it doesn't fall on me?
Yeah, absolutely. You can use your bonus action to step lithely aside as the owlbear topples heavily to the loamy earth of the animal trail.
Thank you.
Panting. Looking around at each other to make sure all of you are still intact.
So I hear that parts of owlbears are worth something on the open market, but I don't really know.
You all realize that being out in the wilderness at night is a probably dangerous activity and warrants attentiveness and...
Let's set up a tent!
Is that where you're going with attentiveness?
Ha!
Doesn't want people to know he thinks it's funny.
People don't know you're on the podcast.
I know.
Is that not where you're going with it?
No. It's like pay freaking attention. Stop talking about pine needle tea.
And it would probably be best to be aware of where you're going and what you're doing.
Oh.
For the woods are dangerous, especially here, given that you're maybe an hour out of town in the darkness. That you're already being attacked by an owlbear.
Into the woods and out of the woods and into the...
That's what I was just...
Into the woods, it's time to go.
So Melusine continues to talk and jabber on. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm a little concerned about Oscar because he got pretty beat up.
I'm going to cast Cure Light Wounds on Oscar.
What do you say when you cast Cure Light Wounds on Oscar?
Staying alive, staying alive. Stand alive.
Do you accept this spell to heal you?
Lamentably, yes.
All right. Roll your health back there, Melusine.
You got to sing along if you accept it.
Yeah.
That's very fair.
Unless they're passed out, then they can't.
They always must sing along.
Yeah, even if they're passed out.
That's canon as added by Chelsea.
Staying alive.
I feel like Oscar would be better at it than that.
Oscar can't sing.
Oscar has like a billion skills.
He went on The Voice and he didn't do so well.
But he still went on The Voice. Six, that says a lot. Anyway.
6 hit points back.
The woods are lovely, dark and deep, and you have miles to go before you sleep.
That was a nice little rhyme. I liked that.
I didn't make that up.
That means you're going to die.
Can we put a protective spelly thingy on us, Miss
If I was
Wizardy people?
Useful warlock, maybe, but I'm not.
If I was higher level, possibly.
I can produce a flame. Wait, that's... Oh, that's useful.
That also attracts things to us, though, in the dark woods.
But then we would also see the things.
But most of us have dark vision because we're dwarves.
Most of us?
All of us have dark vision because we are dwarves. I didn't want to assume.
Jury's out on one of us.
Dangerous to assume. So, flame, bad idea. Bard, do you have any protective-y thingies that you could think of?
No.
Okay, there goes my ideas.
I mean, we could just be more attentive and I could stop telling stories, even though they are so interesting.
Yeah, true.
We could take shifts, like a night watch.
Should we stop and take camp and have someone on watch or a couple of us on watch?
Well, if we took a rest, I'd get my lay on hands back, right?
Long rest, but not a short rest.
Why not a long rest?
Well, you're currently standing around a dead owlbear.
Does anyone have survival?
Can I search the owlbear?
Yes, you may search the owlbear. You go through its pockets, find some dryer lint and a receipt for parking.
Oh, and like a wet, like a sticky mint.
Are owlbears like, do they have feathers? Are feathers useful?
They have feathers, they have fur, they have a really massive, wicked, serrated beak, great deal of blood in them, and claws.
But there's venom dripping down, wasn't there?
No, that was a duodenum, which is different from venom.
What's duodenum? What?
It's like a different type of gene material.
I was just going to say.
I think it's like guts.
It is one of the three parts of the intestines.
Okay, I pluck a feather.
Sure, you may take some feathers.
Oh, it's not dead yet, is it?
It's dying.
Dying, but to like take off its beak would be pretty.
Well, it is dead, so it's not going to feel anything more than it has already felt of its 71 hit points. Just like that could make
a pretty wicked axe, pickaxe. Like, take the beak, put it on a stick.
Caw, caw. Yes, I think you'd have to say caw, caw anytime you
pick caw!
With a beak mace. I don't know what your character's survival skill is to field dress a owlbear. You could make that endeavor an attempt. The beak itself does have some versatility as a weapon. Maybe not a mace weapon, but possibly. You could also turn it into some sort of crazed mask or helmet. That would be a viable option for your dwarf as well.
Pretty cool.
I attempt to take off the beak.
Well, and then make a survival.
Before that happens, Eldith runs up and sees what her brother is about to do and yells at him. Don't you dare touch that owlbear one more time. How dare you defile this poor creature? I know you don't follow our god anymore, but it was in our service not to harm any other creatures unless we had to, and we've done more than enough to this one.
I think it did more than enough to Oscar, so I'm just taking a trophy.
Your feather was enough.
That cuts deep.
Fine, I'm not taking it, but not because you told me not to. It's because it's gross and bloody.
I still want to see that wisdom survival check. Not that you've actually started gouging out the beak. I just wanted to see how daunted you would be looking at the...
Six.
So you're absolutely sure you have no idea what to do anyway. So when you hold, you're like, this kind of maybe isn't a great opportunity to be like, all right, I'm doing you a favor then. I won't take the beak.
Exactly.
So this time I won't do it, okay? This time I'll respect your god, okay?
She rolls her eyes and walks away.
Perfect. Or not perfect. That relationship definitely needs some finessing. So while this twin exchange is happening, perception checks for my other three dwarves.
Okay, I'm not talking.
13.
20.
6.
Fogrim, as you turn away, you hear a whimpering coming from the area where the owlbear charged out of.
I'm just going to go over here, guys, and take a wicked piss.
Roll a deception check, please, with disadvantage.
Why with disadvantage?
Because they're all your family and they know you.
8.
Yeah, it's very clear that you don't really need to pee, but everyone may take that as they will. So you rush off towards the whimper to uncover in a little cave nestled inside. There's a very small stream that's only maybe 2 feet across, trickling along beside it, and a little clearing that is all set with the stars above, moonlight shining in, and you can see into the cave. Something is whimpering and lying in the cave itself.
Can I just be curious about the way that he was acting and follow?
Make an insight check.
21.
It does seem interesting. You're also concerned, though, that if you leave, that your brother may start to cup that beak up. So that's a possibility as well.
I was not thinking that at all.
Okay, I'm going to step closer so I can see what it is.
As you step closer, you can make out a form that is not a baby owlbear.
Oh.
In the cave itself, it seems to be humanoid but small.
But it's a whimpering sound?
Making a whimpering, unhappy sound.
Can I discern, possibly like narrow down what it might be from the sound?
Well, it's a whimpering sound, so it's a sound of unhappiness that is universal in nature and unnecessary to replicate. So you continue to move closer.
Yeah.
intrigued and also unsure as to what this noise actually is.
Yep.
And you find in there a small person. Maybe it's a child. You're not immediately sure. The creature's only 2.5 feet, 2 feet tall.
Ooh.
Laying in a heap. There's blood all over it, and it looks very close to death. Who is behind the owlbear right now?
Me.
Melusine is at the back end of the owlbear? That makes sense. The two of you at the face of the owlbear, and Oscar still dashed away.
Ha. Huh.
Something starts coming out of the owlbear.
I'm going to move.
In amongst all of the refuse and detritus that were still in the guts and the colon of the owlbear, sorry for the description there, something else is worked out of the owlbear, white colored and glistening.
An egg.
Oh.
You have found a robin's egg in a nest right off to the side there. The robin has left it in the sheer fleeing. And that's why Oscar suddenly shouts out an egg from the middle of nowhere.
So what does it look like?
It kind of stops. It is possibly hard to the touch. You're not too sure. Coming out of an orifice of this owlbear.
Still not getting it.
It's round as it's most of the way. Maybe like...
like oval shape, maybe?
Can't really tell because it's only a third or half the way out.
I'm going to let it, like, you know, work its way
out. It definitely does not. It starts to go back in after a little bit there.
So. Is it an egg from the owlbear? I think that's what you're getting at, right? Like the owlberg's offspring?
I'm going to point it out to Eldath and say, I think that there might be an egg and thus a life to save.
We must grab it. And I go in and I dive.
Go ahead.
Do you just climb over the owlbear?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, maybe the pressure pops it out.
Try to work it around.
Need it.
Yes,
like
exactly.
When you're trying to get like air out of an air mattress.
Yeah.
Like,
meanwhile, Oscar's puzzled because everyone is talking about an egg and you have found one.
Sure did. It's tasty.
Eat it raw?
Don't do a Rocky Balboa and
crack the egg. It is half formed. The robin is like mostly there, the baby robin.
It's like those episodes of Survivor.
A lot of still the white as well as mostly formed baby robin, but it is still soft and crunchy. And
she's giving me a look.
And you crack the shell and pop it into your mouth. It is not the creamy yolk of a normal egg. It is a half-formed bird. How do you respond to that?
I will live with my decision.
Do you hastily swallow or... sorry, it wasn't a swallow, it was a robin.
Does Eldith see this?
No, you're totally distracted with the other egg.
Well, if I ever found out, you're never getting lay on hands.
I will finish my Filipino delicacy known as balut.
Yes, all right. Yep, finish that up. Make a medicine check to pull the egg out. You may, if you're getting assistance from Melusine, unless you're not dirting.
Oh, no, I'll grab the egg.
All right, so two things happen. You offer guidance to your dark god.
Guidance
to Eldeth. So what do you say?
Give us guidance to remove the white thing from the creature.
Can I deny her god's guidance?
Yeah, you don't have to use that.
I'm helping you out
there
here.
There were some eyes.
Damn.
What did you roll?
Well, I have a five.
A five total. You end up pushing the egg further in and lose your wristwatch. Considering this is Dungeons and Dragons, you didn't have a wristwatch, so...
wrist sundial. Because those work.
Did Melusine actually offer to assist you?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to help, yeah.
Oh, then you have advantage on the roll. You may roll a second die.
It's 14.
14 is enough to reclaim the egg. You've lost the wristwatch forever. The egg is in reasonable shape. It is still quite soft, though. It probably will harden, but it would need to be incubated and held for a considerable time in order for it to hatch properly. But you don't know too much. So I don't know, what's your character's survival?
2.
And what's your handle animal?
2.
Not particularly skilled to know how to treat an egg for a baby owlbear. Meanwhile, while Fogrim is relieving himself, he discovers that there is in fact a small childlike figure covered in blood, very, very wounded, close to death in the cave itself. It looks like the owlbear was not letting it die in the hopes of once the egg had laid, it would still have reasonably fresh meat for the hatched baby owlbear. Now, give me a quick perception check.
11.
There are 3 other egg-like shapes in the cave. They are harder and are off to the side.
So I'm going to go and figure out who this kid is and see if they're still conscious.
It's an unconscious individual.
I'm going to go right up to them.
You describe what a gnome looks like to me.
It's a little girl gnome. She has like auburn hair put in pigtails, but they're disheveled. I don't know what color eyes they are because her eyes are closed. And she's breathing pretty heavily. So I can tell she's not doing so great. It looks like she was wearing a dress, but it's mostly tatters. It appears to be brown now. It might have been a lighter color before.
Muddy brown dress. And she's wearing one shoe. What does the shoe look like?
It's a clog.
One wooden clog.
One croc.
Clog is better.
There's no wooden crocs.
That's what you think.
So I'm going to pick her up.
Okay.
And carefully but quickly take her back to everyone else.
She groans and cries out, and you rush her over to the group.
As soon as they come into sight, Eldith runs over and starts looking over the small gnome, seeing if there's something she can do to help mend some of the injuries.
The gnome looks very, very badly injured, broken legs and broken clavicle. You can make a medicine check to know more.
I'm going to start pulling out.
Did you want to offer guidance to that medicine check?
Guidance!
You got to take it this time.
What are the blue ones again?
The blue ones allow you to have advantage on a check of your discretion before you roll it. The white ones allow you to change details in the world.
Oh, great good God. I pray for guidance from my beautiful sister in deciphering what is wrong with this beautiful child.
I will never accept your God's help. Can I use one of these?
If the child dies, it is on you, then, sister.
12.
12 is enough for you to get the information that I already told you. You're not too sure that this child will live more than the night, maybe the next day.
Can I use Lay on Hands?
Yeah, you may use Lay on Hands to heal the child. However, a lesser restoration would also need to be used in order to heal these broken bones and the horrible damage that's been done internally to the child.
That's all I have.
Okay, so you use the remainder of your Lay on Hands?
Yeah.
You use the other 5 dots of Lay on Hands, and the child does not waken, but falls into a deep and more restful sleep. The majority of wounds have been healed and repaired.
I'm going to take my never-ending scarf and make like a mini blanket.
Okay.
Out of it.
That's very sweet. And kind of you. What does everyone say at this time? Because it does seem pretty effing weird that suddenly Fogrim goes, I gotta take a piss, and comes back with a gnome child.
Foggy, where did you find this gnomish child?
In a cave, surrounded by 3 giant eggs.
Like food, probably. This gnome was meant to be food.
Yeah, it's quite possible. A little scary to think.
Well, I will carry the child, but we should find some place safe to be.
Like far away from here.
Or in the cave where we just cleared out the creature's stuff because the creature is dead.
Then we'd have to destroy the 3 eggs inside the cave for it to be safe for the child and for us.
They probably won't be hatching tonight.
We'll just throw the eggs in a river or something. I'm not so on board with that.
I doubt the eggs would be hatching tonight. We're probably safe.
And how terrifying are going to be little owlbears? Like, how dangerous are they?
They're totally puntable. There was an entire owlbear baby punting league in I mean, it wasn't a good country.
Is it the D&D version of Angry Birds?
Yes. Yes,
still standing around the corpse of an owlbear.
Let's go into the cave.
Somebody is currently holding...
I'm going to take the gnome since I made the blanket.
You've got the gnome now.
Yeah.
Who's got the other egg?
I think I have the...
Eldith has the soft egg that had not...
Yeah. And I'm holding it gently like this, trying to give it warmth, because I know that much.
The last to leave the owlbear's side is Oscar, trying to pick a feather from his teeth. You casually throw a glance at the dead owlbear that you finished off with your rapier, and you see... A smaller black egg has also slipped free from the owlbear, but it is much smaller than the other one that was born, and it is black in color.
Let's go pick it up.
It too is soft, and it wiggles as though there is something living inside, and the egg, of course, starts to harden immediately in the moonlight, just like any other normal egg would.
I will keep it warm.
Okay.
Foggy, where's this cave?
This away! And I point and I walk.
There is a... very trampled. Picture a thorny blackberry bush on the edge that the owlbear came crashing through when it attacked the party. That bush has these silver glistening berries in it, and these berries have mostly been crushed and whatnot, and you can make your way through. Otherwise, you would not have even thought that there would be anything on the other side of this bush, how thick and dense, and the needles and thorns on this bush are 3 to 4 inches long and razor sharp all across the entirety of it, so it's pretty dangerous. But because the owlbear trashed it on the way through, you're easily able to pick your way in amongst the ruins of the bush into this beautiful little moonlit clearing, which has a little crystal clear stream, the perfect kind to just throw yourself down at and gulp fresh water to cleanse one's palate from ballot, perhaps, and for the rest of you to refill a water bottle and maybe have a sip if you felt so inclined. There is a small cave that would fit 3 or 4 of you at a time in it, enough to set up some bedrolls, and the clearing itself is, you know, probably 10 feet wide by 30 feet long or so, just enough to give you some walking space. And there does seem to be a bit of a path east-west off of the stream. And it is here that you may make a rest if you would like to do so. It does seem to be an opportune spot.
Let's rest.
Let's do it.
Long or short?
Long.
Yeah.
Long. I need them hit points back.
It is late at night. But 8 hours from now or so is when the sun will rise. You'll probably have to deal with that owlbear out there, or else predators or carrion eaters will come forth and may choose to attack you. But as it stands, there you have it. One egg being held by Eldeth, one egg secreted away by Oscar, and 3 eggs in a cave.
One for each of us.
I was going to say we all get a pet.
So are watches set up?
Foggy can take the first watch. I don't know if we want to do it in pairs or singularly, but I can do it by myself.
How big is the cave opening?
The cave is small.
The cave itself is rather small, but it's big enough to hold an owlbear and a little bit more than an owlbear. It's like 3 slumbering dwarves.
How big is this immovable rod that I have?
1.5 feet.
Because I was going to maybe prop it up to make like a little like barricade, so if someone tries to run in, they'll hit the rod and like fall down or whatever.
In rod we trust. In but rod we trust. At this point, that would not really do much, I don't think. It is unmovable, but...
It's not inanimate carbon, Rob.
Can I use sanctuary on someone who's on the first watch?
How long does it last for?
I think it was 1 hour. I just had it and then I lost it. Sorry.
I will take the second watch.
Oh, never mind. It lasts 1 minute.
Yeah. It's a good combat-related spell for having somebody not be attackable. Mm-hmm. You establish watches... Many of you sleeping in the cave throughout the night. Nothing happens. There is the sounds of something off the other side of the glimmerberry bush, but whatever it is working its way on the owlbear. It does not bother the group of you. That happens during the third watch. I'm not too sure exactly how you want the 5 of you to organize your watch and lay it out, but you ensured enough to allow everybody to get enough of a rest. There's no fire lit that night because it's already well into darkness by that point. But when the sun rises on a beautiful clearing in the morning, you're all rested and refreshed. Your hit points have returned to you, and you can see off in the distance through the clearing to the north, the rise of hills leading to hopefully a mountain in the distance. From your discussion in Blazing Dell, you are still 2 or maybe even 3 days away from where the orcs have been raiding into this countryside. Something in the night dragged away, or several things dragged away, the owlbear.
Can we check in on the little girl? See how she did overnight?
Yeah, she's still asleep. She has not moved over much, but the sleep does seem to be restful. Until somebody takes good, long-term care of this little gnome, does not look like she's going to be able to walk or of much ability.
Can I use Cure Wounds?
Yeah, let me have a look at that Cure Wounds spell. So Cure Wounds will cure the wounds that she has on the outside and return to her hit points. But it's not going to heal her of the larger internal wounds. She's going to need something called Lesser Restoration.
Oh, and which that's is a level 2 spell,
not
right?
Available to you yet.
Right.
It looks as though she's been paralyzed by the owlbear's damage. Some sort of damage has been done to her internally that has caused her to be paralyzed, and she's not going to be able to move unless lesser restoration is cast upon her.
Not until the next level.
The girl does not really awaken, but her wounds have been healed. What would you like to discuss about doing? You have a slew of eggs. The bright dawn awaits you, and so...
I need a reminder of, do we know where the gnome village... Like, I know it's burned to the ground, but did we know where the gnome village was?
It was between Blazing Dell and the Stone Tooth that you're attempting to find.
Okay. So can we just make that part of our path? Stop at the gnome town on our way?
There was a mushroom farm that was run by the Numblefoot clan. That was attacked.
Because we're trying to find these orc raiders on our way to Stone Tooth Mountain.
There's something called the Stone Tooth.
Which is a mountain.
Might be a mountain.
Okay.
You're hoping.
Hoping, yeah.
And the raiders are coming from it.
Okay.
Because you're pretty sure that that's the readout, the home, the hideaway of the Stonehammer clan that Durgeddon the Black led attacks from 100 years ago.
So I think we should gather our stuff, including the girl, and head that way and hope we find help for her or someone on our way.
I would maybe consider going back to the town to drop the girl off. Just because to take the girl on a dangerous trek towards
didn't we
a place
sneakily
with orcs.
Have to leave the town?
So we return with good favor.
Don't know that that's what's going to happen if we return. And it's over an hour's trek back. It's a big detour to go back to the town.
Do I have a spell that lets me... send a message.
So you mentioned that the hills that we see in the distance that we hope are possibly mountains are towards the north?
There are hills to the north.
Huh. I still think we should probably take the girl back to the town instead of dragging her towards the raiders. Just to make sure she stays alive, because otherwise I don't think she'll
be
good.
But I don't think she's any safer with anyone except us.
But there's healers in the town. People that can heal people. There's probably a hospital of some kind. Whatever the D&D version of a hospital is.
Wizards all in a room.
Is there a way for me to signal the constable, like shoot up a flyer or something or other and be like...
It is the dawn. I'm not too sure who makes breakfast in the group, but something is rustled up. Fogrim, what's your survival skill?
It's just one.
Just one? Does anybody have survival?
Nope. No, I've got zero on that.
Guys are... big, big trouble.
Yeah, I'm not sure why we all went in the woods
by ourselves. There's really not any other way to do that.
That wasn't a good choice.
I'm a bard. I stick around cities normally. It's a thing.
Don't we have a ranger or like a rogue that would know survival?
I have two in survival.
Well, that's better than anybody else.
Nice. I have two as well.
Oh, still better than anybody else.
Wow.
I took insight and medicine as my proficiencies.
So how does the conversation go at the beginning of morning when everybody looks at everybody else for breakfast?
We got these eggs over here.
I was going to say raw eggs.
I prayed to my god for guidance and food.
We could go collect some squished berries. Mm.
But how do we
know if they're poisonous?
Yes. I mean, you know, berries do kill people regularly.
Could I switch one of my things out to purify food and drink?
Mm-hmm.
And then I could purify the berries and we can eat them?
Absolutely.
Or would I need detect poison so I could see if they're poisonous?
Both would be effective. However, if you used detect poison to find out that they were in fact poison, you would not be able to purify them. So
fair. So I'd probably want...
just purify them.
Yep.
Just be safe.
To be fair, I'm not a mean dungeon master, but purifying does not remove the poison from the...
Oh.
Yeah,
just makes it safe to eat.
Yeah.
It's but like, if they were bad for your digestion, they will still be bad for you.
Oh.
It's like if you've got moldy bread,
so
you want to eat the moldy
I say we
bread.
Vote someone as tribute to test them.
So again, if somebody has poisoned your water or the water is bad, you could purify it. I don't know if the poison itself, if it is a poison, can be purified. That's a very good question. Question for the ages.
Or you could answer it now so we know.
I mean, you are the god of this world. Truly.
No, that's fair.
If the berries are actually poison and you purify them, you would
the
be left
would
with dried, desiccated husks that have no nutritional value.
That we know not to eat them.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah. So in this instance, the berries are not bad. When you purify them, they are all good and clean, and you eat them.
Oh, so I do purify them.
Just to be safe. You have a few berries. It's not really enough for a whole party of five hungry dwarves, but you do have field rations and dried meats and other things. So you're not needing to live off the land, as it were. But no one is really sure how to make a fire.
I got produce flame. I can just make fire whatever I want.
For cooking things.
You can still cook on the fire.
Over top of your hand.
Yeah.
Get a little stick. And
how else does everybody else cook? There's me. Marshmallow.
Where did you get a marshmallow from?
I bought it at the expensive store in town, okay? As a wooing gift. For Constable Dara.
With that, wood is gathered by a group of you, and Tessikar produces flame until the wood catches fire, and then you have a fire for a little while until it goes out, because none of you know how to tend to it. You boil some water, because you think that might be a good idea. Nobody really knows what to do with it. And I'm going to guess you guys chat about what you're planning to do.
So I think we should trudge on.
Who's John?
We're going to move forward, is what she's saying. To advance the storyline.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's many stories, there's many songs about trudging. And
I don't know who John is.
There's many stories on trudging and getting through the day as you need to trudge. I whip something up if we need it.
Oh, please don't.
I second that one.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that as well. I think you have some food left that you need to eat.
Food. Good.
And there are four eggs. Wink, wink. To Oscar. And a gnomish child.
I'm going
to
carry the
or
gnome.
Or potentially just a gnome. You're not too sure. Might just be a gnome. Might be a gnomish child. You know?
Yeah, fair. Not the best judge.
I'm going to carry the gnome.
But there's two eggs, though, to carry. Then someone has to carry two
oh,
eggs.
Oh, carry an egg.
So you're bringing the eggs.
Why are we bringing the eggs?
I don't know, but we should.
No, I think we should probably leave the eggs.
No, I'm bringing the eggs, guys.
Maybe there's...
I stuffed the eggs.
Okay, then you're carrying four eggs.
So
they're huge.
They're like
not the... small.
Can I make one of those like baby Bjorn things?
A baby Bjorn for an owlbear egg?
Yeah.
I don't see why you couldn't.
Cool, that's what I'm doing.
Do you know how to?
I really awkwardly wrap a piece of fabric that I pull out of my bag around the egg and then around myself.
All right, make a wisdom or intelligence check.
Oh, no.
Can't guidance that one.
Absolutely, you can guidance that yourself.
I'm guessing Eldith's egg is the same size.
They are all the same size except for one that you have not actually noticed yet.
I don't want an owlbear egg. I want to carry the gnome.
I have a connection to this one.
13.
Guidance, though.
You will always pray for guidance before you roll, so this doesn't help you this time. It's fine. 13 is enough to, you know, swaddle an egg to yourself.
Is it to the front or the back of you?
It's definitely in the front. There's no way that Tessikar could have managed all of the ties. Tessikar didn't seem to ask for help or pray for guidance. It just kind of did it and said, how does this look? And it's doable.
Am I able to tell if the egg, because the egg that I had was so fresh and soft.
Right.
Am I able to tell that if I leave it here, it will survive?
It will not survive.
If I bring it with me, will it survive?
It might survive.
Guys, there's four
eggs. How do you even know it's
also
fertilized?
The hard eggs will not survive as well.
Oh, no.
That you don't even need a roll for that. The hard eggs will not survive because they are not ready to hatch yet, so they will probably get too cold.
What are you going
to
do? Are you going to sit on these eggs?
You need to maintain those eggs and keep them safe, and they will hatch. But then you have no idea what to do with baby owlbears because nobody has asked to make a roll on what they do when they're born.
Can I make a roll on what they do when they're born?
You may make a roll to see if you have any nature or natural knowledge. So make a nature check.
Can I arcana history?
And
please?
Anybody may make a nature check to know if they know anything about how to deal with baby owlbears.
Guidance!
Sucked.
You, that one.
Not at all.
17?
11.
11.
14.
17 is enough to know that these baby owlbears will need fresh meat upon birth right away. And that meat needs to be chewy and delicious.
Pre-chewed?
Or like human
might
flesh?
Be, you're not too sure about that. But they need to have red meat
and probably an assortment of other things because owlbears are omnivores, but that's a necessity right there.
So you have to kill to keep these things alive.
When you say red meat, does orc meat count as red meat?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, you see where I'm going with this? Bring them.
A question about my secret egg that they don't know about.
Right, yep.
Why is it small and black?
You're not too sure?
Yeah, those two words don't usually go together.
No. I would see why you would question that.
I am greatly concerned.
I got that reference.
I did too.
I'm proud of myself.
Tessikar has strapped an egg to his chest. Melusine has a gnomish child wrapped in an infinity scarf.
Yep.
Swaddled and clutched close to her chest. What is everybody else doing?
I think knowing that I can't keep these eggs, I run outside to try and get some like leaves and stuff to surround the eggs to try and keep them warm so that they have the possibility of hatching.
Okay. Your egg included?
Yeah.
So you're going to take your egg and you're going to put it on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, you know, no, because then they might get eaten. Oh, this is such a conflict of internal integrity.
Are you going to break it open?
No.
What were you thinking of doing?
Why would I?
I don't know why. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, I'm trying to find a way to make myself feel better and convince myself they could survive. If we leave these eggs here, they will have a higher chance of living. Because we killed their mother, and that is against everything I live for. Because it was not a demon or undead or pure evil.
In fact, you did a whole bunch of damage to the owlbear as well.
However,
I did damage out of protection, and that is part of my thing.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But I still, it's weighing on me heavily. I think I choose to try and follow in my brother's footsteps, and I attempt to swaddle my egg.
Sure.
And I attempt to warm any other eggs left behind to give them a higher survival chance.
Okay, how will you do that?
What kind of floor is the cave?
It's dirt. Hard-packed dirt.
Can I attempt to try and dig a hole in
with
the dirt?
What?
With my hands.
Yeah, that's not...
With my club.
With your club. You bang the dirt.
Can I use my battle axe?
You got an egg swaddled.
Yeah.
Do you want to pull out your battle axe and start swinging it around?
You're going to crack the egg. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand my battle axe to her.
Oh, absolutely. You can give
when
your battle axe
I see her trying to hit the ground with a club.
Okay. Yeah, the battle axe cleaves into the ground, cutting a furrow out of it. It'll be, you know, a good half hour of swinging to get the packed earth to be soft enough for you to do anything with it. But you did take your egg and swaddle it close to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And then maybe I grab some sticks and some leaves and I try to surround any eggs left behind.
Okay.
Because it makes me feel better.
You definitely have the ability to swaddle two of the eggs if you wanted to.
Well, then I swaddle two.
Yeah.
You're doing front and back?
Okay, I do that.
Okay.
You're gonna look ridiculous. So how many eggs are left then?
Oh my God, I'm so
So
scared.
You have one.
Yep.
I have two.
Eldith has two, so there is one egg remaining. But Fogrim doesn't even look at the eggs. Like, refuses to look at the eggs. Does not care.
I don't care either. I'm holding a gnome.
I kind of just want to turn them into weapons of mass destruction, so I'm going to take the other one in hopes of having two weapons of mass destruction.
All right, you'll swaddle another baby owlbear.
Well, at least we can agree on one thing, brother.
Despite what Eldeth just said, there is an actual moment between the two of you as you both realize that you're doing the exact same thing. Well, what appears to be everyone else in the party absolutely just being disgusted and annoyed with this interaction.
It's just super weird. That's all. They look ridiculous.
Says who are you saying that to, Fogrim?
I look awesome.
I was going to say, says the dwarf with half his hair missing.
I just want to know who Fogrim said that to. Just no one, just to the camera?
Like
to,
yes. Deadpool did.
No camera.
Yeah, fourth wall then.
With all of the eggs protected, swaddled and caressed, you make your way out of the encampment, heading north. And I would like to get some nature or survival checks for you guys to not lose your way as you travel north. I'm going to recommend
Nope. Guidance! Before that finish
Not
rolling.
Only that you make use of guidance, because that is a very useful and important thing, but that you are going to cast guidance on the person who has the best chance of rolling as well, because whoever has the best bonus is probably the best one to have guidance cast on.
Who has the best nature score?
I think Aldeth and I have +2 to our nature.
Aldeth doesn't like me, so you're getting some guidance there, Oscar.
Okay. I had a moment.
Cool.
You did have a moment.
You wouldn't accept any of my guidance from my god, so why would I try now?
Yeah, because you turned on my god and went to some crazy dark god.
It's a god that offers guidance. What does yours do?
It's a what? It's a D4?
Yes.
16.
Oscar knows the way and leads. As you head north, you return back to that trail that you were walking along, and you head north, you find a larger river that doubtlessly was what was feeding that little stream you had encountered before. You have to ford the river, and it goes up to, you're dwarves. So it actually goes up to your, almost to your chests. So it would get the eggs wet, and you'll have to hold them above your heads as you pick your way. And it'll be pretty difficult to, as you ford the river, to hold both of the eggs to do so. Holding one would be much more realistic and reasonable. What do you do?
I'm going to attempt to cross with both.
I will carry one of your eggs.
I was
going
to say, I can.
You are busy, Oscar, carrying an egg of your own.
Wait, can we see? Small. You said it was a small egg.
No, you said mine was really small. Like, it's in my pocket.
No. It's half the size of the other eggs. It is not that.
Well, then.
It is small, but it's half the size. He's tucked it away in his bag or tucked it away underneath his jacket.
But he still
it was
to
definitely
it
not.
Over.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Oh,
so
is this where we find out that he has it?
Yeah, it might be the very case that he has to reveal his egg, or he's, you know, wraps his jacket up and holds his jacket high over his head. He's welcome to do as he will.
I'm gonna do that. Don't want my jacket to get wet, so I will wrap it up.
Okay.
This is expensive leather.
The finest Corinthian love of feathers.
Rich Corinthian leather.
You've got two eggs to hold aloft as you cross the river. You also have two eggs to hold aloft as you cross the river.
I can help one of you.
Help me.
Help her. I got
okay.
it.
I take Eldith's egg,
being the oldest,
and I hold it over my hand as we cross.
I will let everyone make an insight check on Oscar, so you don't need to make that roll, because... What did you get, Eldith?
Natural 20.
Okay. And so everybody 24. Else get? Any? If you beat a 15...
19.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wow. Okay, so... You're busy carrying a gnome, so that makes perfect sense. You're working on trying to make sure she doesn't get wet and catch pneumonia. The rest of you all realize that is not just a bag. He's got his bag and everything, and he's holding it as high as he possibly can. It looks strange. It's not clear as to exactly why he's doing it, but he's not just like it's a leather jacket. It should be waterproof, but nonetheless. Take that as you will, as you make your way across the river. Now, does one of you attempt to take both of the eggs across the river, or do you leave one on one side, take it across, cross back, and then carry it across again?
Well, I took one, and then Foggy took one.
I'm the one that
me.
Would have to make two trips.
So are you going to try to do them both together, or one trip?
Can I put one on each shoulder, kind of balancing them?
Well, yes, but it's going to require a check. Everybody else can just get across the river holding one egg up, but you will have to make a check if you would like to take two eggs across the river together.
What kind of check?
A D20 check.
But in regards to what?
To bring two eggs across the river, because if you don't make the check, then you will fall.
Require?
And you will get one of the eggs very, very cold, very, very wet.
But what skill does that require?
Yes, that's definitely going to be the case, is that it's going to be a skill check. Do you wish to have to make a skill check or not?
I just want to know which skills so I can figure out if it's worth the gamble.
Is it worth the gamble?
Well, no, I'll just leave the egg. Oh,
because you can take one and then come back and take it.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, and I'm grumpy about it. Okay, guys, I'm leaving the egg on the freaking riverbank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes 5 minutes to cross this stream.
Oh, I'm jogging.
This river. Especially on the way back. On the way back, Tessikar gets soaked from head to toe because he's trying to make his way back to the other egg as quickly as he can. I gotta get back. I gotta get back. All right. You make your way across the river. That challenge is done. And when you get to the other side of the river, the little gnome awakens.
Aww. Oh, I use Awaken Mind for that.
You're busy in a river right now.
No, I want to be across the river now.
No.
So, Tessikar, you are busy in a river.
Just when the around the river bend?
The little gnome awakens in Melusine's arms.
Aw.
Mama.
Why, hello there.
Huh. Where am I?
We found you in a cave of an owlbear. You seem to be quite injured. Please don't move around too much.
I can't feel anything.
Yes, we're trying to find you help.
Who are you, people?
I'm Melusine.
What's a little girl's name? A little girl gnome's name there, Chelsea?
Talia.
My name is Talia. Talia Numblefoot.
I'm Melusine Stonehammer.
Oh.
My family is just fording the river right now. Where are your people from?
My aunt and uncle have a mushroom farm in the woods, far from the city. We got attacked, and I ran away, and everything was on fire. And then I was in the woods, and I was lost and alone. And I didn't know where I was. And I found his trail, and it had some bushes and berries, and I was eating a berry, and a monster.
No, it's okay. We killed the monster.
She just breaks down and hanging limply in your arms.
I was just trying to understand where.
Yeah,
where
she
her
seems pretty young
be.
And yeah. Not too clear or cogent.
Yeah. I'm going to ask her if she needs some water.
Yeah, definitely would like some water. You definitely help her out a little bit. She does mention the river, but that she wandered for a while before she found the river.
Do I know anything about this area, like where the gnomes might...
I'm not sure we even know where the Numblefoot farm was.
Well, you are sure it is to the north.
Okay.
Are we heading that way?
You're heading north as well.
That's what I thought. I was just double checking.
Like when we run into people, we might be able to ask.
But I don't know where all the Numblefoot's scattered to because there's nothing left of the farm. So that's the issue, is trying to find her family if they're even alive. But please don't tell her that.
Oh, no, I won't. And we need
I don't know how you had that conversation with her just now. Without.
And I'm going to start singing her like a sleep lullaby.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to put her to sleep. So
you cast sleep?
Yeah, so that she rests.
Sleep.
Bam. You know, she's going to fall asleep pretty quick. She doesn't have a lot of hit points, so that's good.
No, I just don't think that it's worth it to have her awake and like struggling and stuff like that. Do you want me to actually sing my sleep song?
You may have a moat for that.
Would you like me to sing my sleep song?
Sure. And as you sing your sleep song, that's when Tessikar returns with his second egg.
Hush, little gnome, don't damn it. Say a word.
I don't even know why you said damn it for. Okay, you believe that you're close to the Numblefoot farm. I mean, it's a tiny little gnome. She did make it to the river. Feel like you would be close to it if you could just figure out how to get there.
Hey guys, she woke up briefly and now she's back to sleep.
Did she say anything?
She said she ran away when things attacked her aunt and uncle's farm. And she found the river, so I think the Numblefoot farm is near here.
Did she say she was a Numblefoot?
Yeah, Talia Numblefoot.
Oh.
Does she know little Chumby?
She was kind of out of it.
Oh.
So she's sleeping now.
Okay.
I'm busy swaddling the eggs back
on. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Of course.
Preoccupied.
I've put my jacket back on, and my egg is still nowhere to be seen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right about that. Okay. And then I'm just going to look at this Oscar fellow over here. Buddy, old pal.
Well, you can make a sleight of hand check.
Hey, I haven't started anything.
Well, he's going to try to put his jacket on and hide the egg in such a way.
But we already noticed that something was off.
Something is off, which is why he has to make a sleight of hand check. So it's going to go against everybody's passive perception, so you'll just need to beat at most a 12.
12, exactly.
Oh my. So who has a 12 passive perception? You notice something weird.
Oscar, your jacket seems a little rounder than usual. Why would that be?
I'm carrying a little extra water weight. Now, let me tell you a story about pine trees. I assume deception.
Oh, absolutely. But it would be against an insight check. So what's your passive insight?
I made an assumption that my passive insight would be my insight plus 4 or plus 10.
Yes.
14.
So you'll need to beat it 14 on your deception check.
Guidance!
Who are you giving guidance to?
To my passive.
You can't give guidance to a passive.
I'll take your guidance for sure.
No, not you.
14.
So not enough. You needed to beat that threshold.
Oh, okay.
Oscar, tell us what's going on right now. I know something's wrong.
There's nothing wrong. It's just a little
Don't
piece of coal
me.
I found. The bugbear exploded and he dropped a piece of coal.
Oh, I'd love to see that piece of coal.
I will pull out the piece of coal that I have.
All right, yeah, you pull, I'm assuming the egg?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he pulls out the egg.
Oscar, where did you get this?
The bugbear pooped it out.
It's an egg, you numrod.
Numrod.
I wanted to say numbnut, and then I wanted to say something else, and it just mixed the two.
I think that a numrod is an actual dwarven insult.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I believe that you should all write it down, because when somebody is lying for zero reason, they are a numnrod. Sounds great. Sounds like a good dwarven word.
You're welcome.
Numnrod?
Yeah, numnrod. When you're lying for no reason. When you're lying for gnome reason.
Gnome reason.
You're a numnrod.
Is there a G on that?
Well, it's gnome dwarven, reason. So there's probably a G.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably silent at the beginning.
But it's lowercase g capital N. Make sure you get that but.
just let Chelsea add her own little bit. Everybody else got to add a bit to... You capitalize it however you feel, but that's the proper capitalization. All right. Do you feel good now?
Yeah.
You got to add?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm part of things.
So, Oscar, if you thought this was coal, why were you hiding it from all of us?
Because mine's smaller and cooler than yours, and I didn't want you guys to have it. It's mine.
We're family. That's not very trustful, Oscar.
You're right. I'm still keeping it, though, but you're right. What? It's not like you could carry it. You already look like a bale of hay with those three round things.
Three? One of those is my belly, you jerk.
That's perfect.
I'm sensitive about my body.
There, there. There, there.
My God, I feel like we're at home right now.
What? Well then, shall we get going?
We have all of our eggs back on, right?
Yes, yeah. You've repositioned all of your eggs. I had no idea you had a big belly as well, so that's interesting. You have a large piece of steel wire that you could use to...
Your underwire.
To bolster the eggs and support them in a particular fashion.
I have a question.
Yes.
It kind of goes back. What check would you have made her make if she was going to try and...
That might come up later.
Shimmy across the water.
Dexterity survival.
Acrobatics trying to
Dexterity survival, probably.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Or nature.
All of those would have been shit.
I know.
So good choice.
Why can't I charm the eggs into balancing on my shoulder?
Charm the river?
Yeah.
Listen, baby river. Listen, you trickling,
fine.
Tinkling mama. I'm going to step my foot in you. It's going to be nice. It's going to be warm.
Just wait for the
spinach. When I get to the middle, I might even pee a little, you know, add a little of me to a little of you. So, yeah, that's why you don't get to do charisma-based river crossings.
Charm the river, it parts.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's how Moses did it.
You proceed north, ever further, trying to find a trail again. However, at this point, when you cross the river, there really wasn't any more of that animal trail, that little path you were finding your way through the underbrush of this forest. The forest itself grows denser and ever wilder, and a great deal of wildlife chitters and skitters around you as you make your way. Lunch passes, and in the late afternoon of that day, you come upon a burned section of the forest and start to uncover more of a mossy northern arboreal rainforest style of wilderness. And there's a lot of mushrooms and whatnot that are growing here as well. And at this point, Talia awakens a little bit and she nods and notices that this is, yes, oh, this is something that she kind of remembers a bit about where it is. And you're a bit west of where you need to be. You continue to head north, and now you go further east. and you hear the sound of axes on wood and animals burdened down carrying things and dragging lumber and whatnot across soil as you uncover a group of gnomes trying to rebuild a farmstead as the sun sets on the second day.
I'm going to approach and say, "Ho, good gnomes."
Sounds like a great place to end tonight.
Oh, great gnomes.
Good gnomes.
Oh, sorry. It's a,
yeah, they're not that great.
Just call them a bunch of hoes. Ho.
Ho.
Raise your glass and drink with the enemy. Raise your glass and sing with the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.